The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every ticket is there. We appreciate it. What are we, 2 days away from SiriusXM Channel 158?
Let's go.
I'm pumped.
Let's go. You can't do that to me during the break, man. That's not fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a Visa plus thing we can't talk
Get
about.
Get back dying laughing.
Jason Weingart still coming up this hour. Jim Root from Three Man Weave talk a little more college basketball. Get his thoughts on Iowa State, Kansas tonight. Also want to get his thoughts on this is we just brought it up earlier on the show about something else where it's like, you know, Dallin was talking about how Man City's the most shocking story in the last 5 years, he believes, in all of sports, and how we as American sports fans were so locked into the NFL,
yeah,
we miss things. Did you see that Cooper Flagg got to, like, plus money? And by the way, not negligible plus money for the Wooden Award a few weeks back?
Are you serious?
I completely missed that, and now he's, like, minus 600.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about what that.
How much did he drop last night? Another big one last night, right?
The other day he dropped 42.
Caught that one.
Which was a ACC record for freshmen. 42. You know what the Duke record for points is in a game, by the way? Most points ever scored in a game by a Duke player? Not freshman, just period.
No.
58.
By whom?
Guess. I'll give you, if I gave you five guesses, well, you probably don't. You were
J.J. Redick.
You were too young. J.J. Redick. Danny Ferry with 58 once.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the day. Let's start, though. Well, first of all, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Let's start there. Always appreciate the feedback from folks. Kelly, people not really on board with your golf league. This is from Jeff Cam, who says, that golf league made me a dumber person, and I only watched for 10 minutes. As soon as a yellow flag was thrown, I got more stupid.
Okay. The yellow flag is the hammer kill. At any time you can throw it, it doubles the points of the hole. I really want more of like a Thor hammer into a gong. More gongs need to be involved in sports more, or just anything. I maybe need a mini gong for
the
studio.
You're a big fan of the gong?
I like the gong,
as a multi-purpose instrument?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big fan of it.
Edward Lefevre. Gil, once again, I think you're sleeping on Paula Badosa. First of all, I think you're sleeping with Paula Badosa.
Hey, oh, oh.
No, you know what bothers me, Mr. Lefevre, if that is your real name? I probably knew Paula Badosa was betting on her before you even knew who she was. Won big on her when she won Indian Wells several years back during the pandemic. She's great. She's just not as great as the great ones, if you know what I mean. She's that notch below the Swiatek Sabalenka Rybakina tier. But I love Paula Badosa, if you know what I mean, Kelly. By the way, you know what tennis...
Yeah, you're right. Flag only had 13 last night.
You know what tennis match...
What a loser.
What's that?
Flag only had 13 points last night.
Yeah, it wasn't a big night for him. You know what else I would say about tennis? By the way, this has nothing to do with any bets I'm on tonight, but it's just a recommendation that there might be a tennis match out there you want to watch. Raducanu Anisimova. Just, you know, you may want to watch that match. Just want to point that out. Ice Cold Gambler.
How do you spell Anisimova?
The TGL... is the new senior tour, since they don't need to walk the course. It's a way to prolong Tiger's career. Crunchy Country Club and Golf League, he says. Not happy.
Yes. I do think there is something to that. There is a... I mean, Tiger and Rory got together, and they're like, hey, you ever feel like you're just out in the sun too much and walking too much? Well, let's put... if you asked me, I would put everything indoors, okay? Sorry, I'm that guy.
Everything?
Every sport... Football, every football game should be played indoors. Everything should be indoors. Every baseball game.
You think football should be indoors?
Yes. I love it.
What is wrong with you?
Take away the conditions. I don't want to have to try to handicap wind or anything like that.
This is your worst. You have stumbled into your worst take ever on this show. No, you got to have the elements.
Okay, you know the first indoor football or baseball game I ever went to was when they built the new Marlins Park.
Oh.
I went there and I said, this is glorious. Air conditioned, watching a baseball game. This is fantastic.
Yeah, if the only element is humidity, yeah, sure. But football? Come on.
Wants to be sitting in snow.
This is from StatLogic Sports. No love here. Texans stink. He does not agree with the Texans takes from our guest. The numbers guys. Commutative property for the win. He says, Kelly, FTW is for the win. He adds, Bobby Knuckles, I will defend the TGL, Kelly. The hammer is fantastic. Should be an actual hammer. Walkout music, a shot clock, sign me up. Bobby Knuckles.
Tiger Woods walked out to Eye of the Tiger last night, and it was so awesome.
Money Capperletti. Maybe Tiger stole the ref's flag from Monday night on the face mask. Explains a lot. Hey.
Hey.
There.
Yeah, the hammer's kind of weak. It's just a yellow flag. It just looks like it came straight out of the NFL.
C. Spackler. More gong. That's all he has to say.
Yep.
And Gary in Philly says, Gil, how do you justify ranking the Ravens over the Eagles when the Eagles beat them head-to-head on the road? Because it's a collective. It's not just one game. And the Ravens are a better football team all around. That's how I justify it. Gary in Philly. Sorry, Gary. I'm also a Skins fan, so maybe I'm down on the Eagles. I agree. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for A Numbers Game. Very pumped about the return to Sirius. It was very hard to listen on the phone while in the trusty, sturdy vehicle. One day soon, I will get on Summerlin Parkway about 8:30 and come over there to pester you and number nine.
You're nice.
You're number nine. All right. Okay, let's talk Super Bowl MVP for a second, because this is a great, we talk about this every year. Sometimes we do before the wild card round. This time we're doing it afterwards. But it is a great market by proxy. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you sort of have to make the comparison. Let's take the Buffalo Bills, for example. Hey, you think the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. Then you get this light bulb, or you should have a light bulb that goes, wait a minute, maybe I can get a better number on Josh Allen, because if the Bills win the Super Bowl, what are the chances that Josh Allen doesn't win MVP? Minuscule, right? Minuscule. Well, guess what? Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, same exact price.
So first thing I did, I was like, I kind of want to bet this. And I'm like, oh, no, same price.
Okay, so you move on to, so that doesn't work out for the Bills. But you do go to other teams and you figure out, okay, is this a better market to bet than the actual to win the Super Bowl? It should be pointed out, if we put up this on the board here, what you will see is three Philadelphia Eagles and three Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, change.
It'd be cool if Jahmyr Gibbs got traded to the Bills, Gibbs. But no, he is on the Lions.
Jahmyr Gibbs should be a third Lion. So three Eagles and three Lions are in the top 12 here, or the shortest 12, I should say, on the Super Bowl MVP board. So what does that tell you? That this may not work out for those two teams, because what it's reflecting is there's probably, there's not one clear candidate, right? With the Bills, it's obviously Josh Allen. But with the Eagles, could it be Jalen Hurts? Sure. Saquon Barkley? Absolutely. Maybe to a lesser extent, but A.J. Brown's in that mix too. For the Lions, Jared Goff? Sure. Jahmyr Gibbs? Sure. Amon St. Brown? Maybe, but he's also in the mix as well.
I think there's like five guys on the Lions that could win it.
Where it really, that's true. Where it really gets, again, it's the Josh Allens of the world. The teams that have only one guy posted in this short, the shortest 12 here is Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, who's the shortest of them all at plus 420. Josh Allen, Bills, who's plus 550. With the Ravens, remember, it's a two-headed monster between Lamar and Derrick Henry. Matthew Stafford, Rams, 27-1, which, by the way, I don't agree with, because I think multiple people could win on the Rams, too. And with Washington, if you really believe that Washington is going to win the Super Bowl, and by the way, what a great human being you are if you believe that, Jaden Daniels, 32-1. So, you'd have to, again, compare that to what is Washington to win the actual Super Bowl.
Right.
And if Washington is longer than 32-1, which I'm guessing they're right around that as well, because I haven't even checked it.
Yeah,
let's
pull us up.
Jaden Daniels, 32-1 is what you're comparing that to. So when you put all that thinking in the mix, what comes out to you as the bet? I alluded to this earlier with JBT. I'm a guy who thinks the Ravens are the best team in football. I think this is their year.
Commanders 28-1.
So Jaden Daniels 32-1. Is that enough? Is that enough extra bang for your buck to want to bet Jaden Daniels in the MVP market over just the Commanders 28-1? I would argue no.
Not for me.
Because
Because
they got a guy by the name of the incomparable Terry McLaurin playing for them too.
That might be one where if I was that interested in Commanders, go 75-25.
Where the value clearly is to me is the Baltimore Ravens, right? Lamar Jackson, we're posting here at plus 650. This is per FanDuel, plus 650. Shop around, of course, for all these. That's a great number on Lamar. Lamar's plus 650, and Derrick Henry is 18-1. I actually am a proponent of, if you are in the tank for the Ravens, maybe even put a unit on each of these two guys. Because the chances that it doesn't go to either Lamar or Derrick Henry if the Ravens win at all, slim to none. And that is a better price than the Baltimore Ravens. What are the Ravens now?
Plus 475.
Yeah, there you go. So to me, this is the market. If you're a Ravens person, I think you go to the Super Bowl market at this point in the season.
It's kind of funny because I think it's a great point. I actually think Derrick Henry stands very little chance. Like, I know he's – it's just if the Ravens get there, it's all going to be about Lamar, the narrative, the conversation. I mean, Henry would have – he'd have to have a massive game in Buffalo this week.
But remember, they're already thinking, okay, well, Lamar might win the actual MVP for the regular season. What if Derrick Henry gets 180 yards rushing?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, there's a scenario.
I'm also a believer. Why am I saying the things I'm saying? I believe there are things that get carried over into the Super Bowl. Like, right, this award is only supposed to be for the Super Bowl, but there are lingering narratives going into that game that impact the way that the winner of this award, and I mean, it's still usually a quarterback.
But look, your point is well taken that these tend to go to quarterbacks. I just want to say the record for most rushing yards in a Super Bowl is still held by, you know who?
No, I don't.
Timmy Smith of the world champion Washington Redskins back in the January of 88. The Doug Williams-led Skins that crushed the Broncos. 204 yards for Timmy Smith.
I got one fun one for you.
Yeah.
If you like the Lions out there. Jameson Williams, 120-1. They've been using him in different packages now recently. If he's a guy that's able to get a rushing score, something like that, crazy on an end around, comes up big.
Also, does the return of Montgomery hurt Gibbs?
Yes.
Absolutely, I think as well. So, anyway, just a different way to think about how you might bet things moving forward. That's for sure. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. He wants to talk about this golf league and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is back on Sirius XM starting this Friday. We cannot wait. Get ready for 24/7 sports betting coverage on Sirius XM channel 158. And the Sirius XM app, of course, giving you all the insights, analysis, and picks you need to stay ahead of the game. We are excited to launch also, which we already have, an exclusive new show just for Sirius XM listeners, VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, hosted by Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. Catch it every weeknight from 7 to 10 Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 82. For the whole network, though, mark your calendars. 2 days away, this Friday, VSiN debuts on Sirius XM Channel 158. VSiN, the sports betting network. We got a special show planned Friday. We can do anything special? Golf and tennis all day Friday. Imagine starting with that
country club just and start open doing the country over club and over again. Yeah.
Hello, Sirius.
We're not annoyed.
We get tweets. Meet the book. 3Jack H3131. Kelly should get gonged for wanting football indoors. Also, what time is that Emma Amanda match? If one were to watch that match, what betting angle would one be cheering for? I will not be on that match. I'm just telling you, you may want to watch the match, if you know what I mean. Steve Rodriguez, good morning, guys. I agree that gong sounds could be incorporated into TGL as well as the Price is Right sound when a contestant loses. Oh, no. You can't mess with the sound when a contestant loses. The one where it goes, doot, doot, doo, doo, doo.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I did see a couple tweets that there should be, like, dance teams involved. Because there's like kind of that atmosphere. I kind of like that one too.
Johnny Ringo, time to throw the challenge flag on Mr. Bidlin for that terrible take. Football should always be outside. P.S. Happy New Year, Kelly. I couldn't agree more.
I love watching it on TV when it's played outside.
Nationed up. Shout out Paul Carr going 3-0 on yesterday's show. Yes. He parlayed them at 9-1. How about that?
I did that same stupid thing we always talk about yesterday. I'm sitting there handicapping golf, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that Premier League game that just ended. Forgot to bet it.
Paul Carr just quietly comes on in here.
Drops a 3-0.
Drops a 3-0, just walks out, all quiet, all calm. Steve the Proxy. Kelly at the Vegas TGL event supplying more gong. He's got a fever. Talk about that old Will Ferrell cowbell skit on Saturday Night Live. Jason H11, yo, TGL is awesome. People don't realize how difficult these courses are. By the lawn is correct. We need the hammer gong. Let's just talk golf and tennis tomorrow. This is Chance Copperpot. Did I just hear Kelly say all MLB games should be played indoors? How dare you even suggest such a thing, Mr. Beanland? Blasphemy. Mustache icon. The TGL hammer is glorious, and it should be a replica of Thor's hammer that has to be thrown down and stuck in the turf, followed by a gong or a crack of thunder. What are you people talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I like that, but then we're going to ruin the course. That's why you need the gong. Motor, you need the sound effect.
Motor City Mike, wow. Kelly's take on the Tigers got a chance again. League and indoor football. Explain these younger generations in a nutshell. Also, the Pistons being 3-36 at this time last year warrants a Bickerstaff Coach of the Year bet, which I grabbed at 40-1 two nights ago. How about that? You endorse a Bickerstaff, a JB Bickerstaff Coach of the Year
bet? 40-1?
You need more than that?
No, I thought he was way shorter than that.
Okay. His dad, Bernie Bickerstaff.
You know, if he got him 41 the other night, he's down to 16 right now. It's a great bet. Kenny Atkinson's going to be tough to beat, though. I mean, it's a you had the old Cavs coach go to Detroit, turn that team around, and now you've got Kenny Atkinson in Cleveland taking them to a next level.
You stepped on my Bernie Bickerstaff fact.
Oh, sorry, man.
Bernie Bickerstaff, his dad, assistant coach for the 1978 world champion Washington Bullets. And Las Vegas 514, yo, tell young Kelly to stop. He can't be serious. Football has to be played on grass and has to be outside. I think there's a thing called arena football that he can go and watch if he wants football inside. You still the homie, but sheesh.
See, this is why the Arizona Stadium, like, perfectly nailed this whenever they built. That was like 05, 06 or something like that, because they got the grass growing outside and then they just roll it in. You don't need turf.
Ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, it's Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on Twitter. What's happening, Jason?
Not much. It's a good time of year. There's only football a couple days a week, and so it's kind of nice and quiet and get some free time right now.
Dare I ask, did you bet on this golf thing?
The TGL?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had $100 on it. I tuned in to watch Tiger, and I made it about 8-9 holes and said, okay, this is back to Star Trek, I guess.
Back to Star Trek.
It would be helpful if the first two matches weren't blowouts. They've been bad.
How about your Rams, Jason? Rams crushed the Vikings on Monday night. You are close to the team. Do you feel like 6 is too many points? Will you be betting on the Rams against the Eagles?
I'll probably be betting on the Rams. It's a nice spot when you get to play a team you played earlier in the season and they blew you out. The second round of the playoff tends to favor home favorites. So it would absolutely not surprise me if the Rams season ended this weekend, but I am reminded that, you know, Matt Stafford's probably the best quarterback left in the NFC side of the bracket. So the Rams have that going for them. They have a really good defense all of a sudden. They've not given up a lot of points in the last 4 or 5 games. I don't know. There's a lot of things that make me optimistic about the Rams here. I'm not going to count them out, but I'm just going to remind people that home teams in the division round tend to do pretty well.
They have that textbook, you know, sort of, you know, profile that one wants in a team that gets far in the postseason, which is you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you have a good running game, you have a really good pass rush. Like, all those nuts and bolts football things are intact. And so I've said all along, I just feel like they're the sneaky team in all of this. You agree?
Yeah, you know, and they have a coaching staff that's been here before. Like you said, Stafford's won a Super Bowl. They have veteran players on both sides of the ball, or mostly on offense at this point, I guess, that can, you know, point to playoff experience. So I'm optimistic. I hope it's a good game. I'm excited for the games this weekend.
Anything else you bet?
I have the Ravens. I took them +1 before it flipped. I don't know. I think you're gonna see a lot of people talking about that game, and you know, there's gonna be a whole lot of narratives, but I think the Ravens is a better team, even with the Bills getting home field advantage here.
I'm with you on both. Those are the two plays I made as well. How about college football Monday night? Did you make any playing for the national championship?
Ohio State, I think, is the clear play here. If somebody has a explanation as to why we should be backing Notre Dame, I'm all ears. But I think Ohio State wins this game, wins it easy, and it's probably going to be a blowout. If I had to pick how Ohio State wins, they're going to win in a blowout as opposed to a close game here. So I actually laid the 8.5.
I feel obligated to ask you, because you are Jason Weingarten, but have you bet any baseball yet for the upcoming season?
So I have not. I've just started sort of kind of thinking about some different things I'm interested in. My main concern, my main interest every day, all my baseball talk with my friends is about where Sasaki's going to land and Today is the first day he's going to sign, so that signing is imminent. I can't wait. I personally think he's going to sign with the Dodgers, and if he doesn't, it's going to be a huge upset. But that's going to sort of be very interesting to look at how Sasaki is priced in the Rookie of the Year market and the Cy Young market. And speaking of Cy Young, I did see FanDuel released their odds, and no surprise, Paul Skeens is the favorite for NL Cy Young. He's 3-1. I was thinking he might maybe 5, 6, 7. 3-1 is just an insane number. I think even Jacob deGrom at the height of his, you know, when he was as good as he was, I don't even think he started the season 3-1. Which again, I'm not saying he can't win it, but I totally understand from the perspective of a bookmaker like FanDuel, you're gonna get money on Paul Skeens for Cy Young if he's 3-1, if he's 5-1, if he's 8-1. So you kind of have to nuke those odds a little bit. But yeah, I'm sort of slowly looking at some of these markets and kind of trying to circle some names and see what's gonna happen, because baseball creeps up slowly. I know the Cubs are the first team to report for spring training. They report on Super Bowl Sunday, so
wow.
the season is right around the corner. Can't get here soon enough.
Let me just seize on that one thing, because it's interesting, because you had a little dalliance with an offshore book. You went down there and you were behind the scenes. What's that?
A dalliance.
Dalliance. From the origin, Dalikov. You just mentioned about Skeens being 3-1 and how a book understands that they can post anything and people will bet it. So why not make it as short as 3-1? How prevalent is that kind of thinking when your experience when you were down there with these offshores? How many times does that come up where the books are like, we could put anything here and they'll bet it, so let's just make it as short as possible on whatever market is applicable?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the big surprises was that they took very little action on NFL futures. It just wasn't a market that their customers were interested in for whatever reasons that might be. Like, I don't actually know. I tried to kind of say, well, I mean, these are great markets. Why aren't you promoting them more? But I mean, it's just sort of matter of fact that they weren't taking a ton of action on a lot of this stuff. I don't think they particularly care. It's more of the U.S. legal books with promotions and marketing and everything. It's a much bigger deal for them as opposed to offshores, which, you know, don't necessarily cater to U.S. baseball, that is.
I think that is one of the more fascinating things that we aren't aware of, is like what books and then within, not what books, but what sports, and then within those sports, props versus, you know, the big three, spread, money line, total, what actually gets handled, you know, in volume.
Seeing where the money is was one of the most eye-opening things. Seeing where the money isn't was actually much more interesting.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin, if you're spelling it all. Thanks for joining us. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from C. Spackler, an expert. Doug Williams never received the props or cash he deserved. Timmy Smith is a two-year-old's name. I was in my formative Elway years and did not appreciate the Washington Super Bowl memory. Great show. Thank you very much. Motor City Mike, I got that 40-1 on Bickerstaff at MGM. Bet MGM. It's still 30-1 on their app as I type this.
Okay, I like it.
Johnny Millionaire, since you asked, Jason, my first baseball future of the year was Reds 6-1 to win the NL Central. Tito at the helm now, talk about Tito Francona, and now neither the Cubs or Brewers scare me. Can't wait for pitchers and catchers. And then one more from 3Jack, where he said, did Jason go visit the offshore book so he could also replenish the cloud of smoke? Sounds like a good podcast to me. Now holding Puka 150-1 and Kyron 100-1. Super Bowl MVP tickets. Go Rams. Okay. By the way, Jason's exit was a classic. Did you catch when Jason said, usually I have to kick off the guests because we're hitting the wall of a commercial. Jason goes, gotta go.
Does he? Now I'm confused. Does he know our clock well enough that
he knew? Maybe he does.
Because he can see it.
There's two very strange exits on the show today. Jason saying gotta go, and then JVT, as you were pointing out earlier, who's our senior NBA analyst.
What do you think of the NBA
today? I was like, what do you got in the NBA?
He's
like,
Utah State.
Over UNLV. I don't know if you know Utah State from the National Basketball Association.
I think he quickly said, I don't have anything in the NBA, but it was, we were up against it with him as well.
We'll find out if James Root will have a strange exit. James Patrick Root, everybody, at Second Chance Points. That's at 2ND Chance Points on Twitter, also part of the three-man weave crew at 3MW underscore CBB. He joins us now. I asked Jim, first of all, good morning to you, sir. I asked Dallin Cuff earlier on the show of the three, you know, sort of big games last night in college basketball, what moved the needle more for my, you know, I asked Florida getting beat by Mizzou, Auburn without Broom beating Mississippi State by 22, and then Alabama getting beat by 10 at home against Ole Miss. I was like, which is the one that has the most impact? You're a Mizzou guy. I don't have to ask you the answer to that question, do I?
No, no, not at all. It was an ugly game, but man, Mizzou getting that huge road win, you can make an argument it's the best win in the country. Top five team, like a two or three seed on the road, maybe up there with Auburn beating Houston on a neutral, Kansas beating Duke on a neutral, that kind of thing. But massive, because Mizzou hadn't won a road SEC game in like over 2 years. They hadn't won a road game yet this year. So that one really vaulted them up any sort of seed line if you're projecting for the NCAA tournament. And I think just kind of the legitimacy of a team that played a super soft non-conference schedule to show that they can do that in a road environment was massive for the Tigers.
Are they a legit contender to win it all?
I won't put them that high. Maybe I'm being skeptical of my own alma mater here, but there's still a little sloppiness in the rotations. Excuse me. The half-court offense. Excuse me. There's just some elements missing that I'm not totally in love with yet. I mean, they played a freshman point guard the final 5 minutes last night. He hadn't played yet in the game, and he basically played the entire final 5 minutes. It's just kind of an up and down rocky road with them. I don't trust the offense or really the defense quite enough yet, but it looks like a tournament team, and that's kind of all I can ask for after 0-19 in the SEC last year.
Well, listen, you could always fall back on the fact that Mizzou is the Harvard of Boone County, no matter what happens in basketball. The Harvard of Boone
County. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, let me ask you about this before we get to your plays tonight, and you do have three plays coming up here on a big college basketball card. I alluded to this earlier. So we're all locked into the NFL. I'm also locked into tennis. And so, you know, you miss some things. I did not realize, and apparently I didn't hear it anywhere else, Cooper Flagg, when it came to the Wooden Award, Duke's Cooper Flagg, freshman sensation, before he dropped 42 a couple Saturdays ago, which is an ACC freshman record, he set the new ACC freshman record, 42 points, he was a north of a $2 dog to win the Wooden Award, and Auburn's Johnny Broom was the favorite. And then simultaneously, or at least right around the same time that Cooper Flagg is dropping 42, Broom gets hurt. Broom's still out with an ankle injury. And it completely flipped. Now it's Cooper Flagg at minus 600. Did you get in on Cooper Flagg at plus money at all?
I did not. I got to hand it to the books here. This was about as quick as I've seen a move that kind of market. Typically, they are slow on this kind of stuff or futures. But I don't think Broom was off the court, like limping, being helped off the floor before Flagg was minus 180 and had moved into the odds on favorite by far. And compared to what it was before the day had started, that was a really impressive response time there. I ranked Broom the best player in the country coming into the year, and I didn't grab him 30-1, Gil, as a player of the year candidate. So I'm already kicking myself, and I guess I just doubled down with my whiffs on the Wooden Award market there by not getting Flag after that injury.
Okay, let's get to your plays of the day. You have three, and ladies and gentlemen, if rotation numbers are what you're looking for, Jim Root's your man. What do you have?
Yeah, try to come prepared as much as I can. We're starting 747 with Pitt -2 on the road here in the ACC. Panthers coming off two losses. You can make the argument it's against the two best teams in the ACC, and they got destroyed by Duke at Cameron Indoor last week, and then a close loss at home against Louisville, who's absolutely rolling right now under their new coach. But much better backcourt here with Pitt. They've been the best ATS team in the country on the road over the last 2.5 years. Obviously, that didn't happen at Duke, but I think there's something real to that. Capel gets his guys prepared to go on the road. They're not intimidated by the road environment. And yeah, just a huge edge in the backcourt. Jalen Lowe is a really incisive driver, great out of the pick and roll. And FSU is more a size team that has not really figured out its backcourt yet. So I think Pitt gets a nice bounce back there after two straight losses.
Jim dislikes FSU and anyone who went there, Kelly.
Leonard Hamilton get sued anymore recently? Is he doing okay with that? hey, Jim, just let me know when to
staying
root.
Staying employed right now.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, let me know if Florida State gets good and I'll tune in. I always like.
What was your ice cold take from back in the day? I'm sorry.
Chris Singleton, man. Watch out. He's going to be better than Kawhi Leonard.
I loved Chris Singleton, but the Kawhi Leonard thing lives in infamy. All right, number two, sir.
Number two, still in the ACC. This one's a total 750 on the betting board. SMU and Virginia under. This is actually the second time these two have played already this season. We're already in rematch season. That's kind of crazy. They played in December, and Virginia, who everybody knows plays at a snail's pace, they held SMU to their slowest game of the year, 63 possessions. That total closed 135.5. There were 114 points. Now they're playing again, 135 points on the total. I'll ride with the under again. I think Virginia is the type of team that controls pace, especially at home. They have not played a game over 64 possessions at home. Half their games have been below 60. Memphis was their fastest game, who's probably the most similar to SMU on their home schedule, and that was only 64 possessions. So this is kind of a previous matchup carrying over and a pace angle. I think under's a good look there at 135 compared to the first matchup that only had 114 points.
Under 135, SMU and Virginia. I'm asking this genuinely. Do we believe that Tony Bennett resigned just because he doesn't want to deal with the whole NIL transfer portal thing?
I think part of that, and maybe he would have been more willing to deal with that if Virginia had more money. And I think he got a little more this offseason, but maybe not enough. And yeah, I think he just missed cultivating guys for 4 years. His best teams, you know, back to 2015 or the Malcolm Brogdon-led teams were squads that had guys that had been in the system and learned and grew with him. And I think just not having that aspect anymore made him not enjoy the coaching aspect.
They'll always have 2019, Virginia. They will always have that team with Ty Jerome leading the way. Number three, sir.
Number three, extra board. I don't think I gave an extra board last time I was on, so I'd be remiss to ignore
that.
We're going with Colgate here, 306, 549 on the rotation, minus three is the spread. They're going against Navy, who they've beaten 10 straight times. They've covered against Navy five straight times, six of the last seven. This is a big buy low on Colgate, who I think is the best team in the Patriot. They struggled in the non-con, playing up against teams. Their best big man, fifth-year senior Jeff Woodward, was out. Really kind of depressed their value, I think, in analytics. You look at Ken Palm or Bartorvik or any of that. Just not having him was a big hindrance. Now into league play, a league they have dominated year after year after year under Matt Langel. I'm sure NCAA tournament fans are very familiar with toothpaste Colgate here. I think going against a Navy team that they have dominated over and over again over the past five or so years, I'll ride with the Raiders, who I think are going to be trending up with Woodward back healthy.
All right, rotation number 747, Pitt, minus two against FSU. Rotation number 750, SMU, Virginia, under 135. And then on the extra board, Colgate laying the points at Navy. Jim, always appreciate it, man. And congrats on the Mizzou win yesterday, man.
Cheers. Thank you. Yeah, I'm hoping when I'm out there in March for March Madness, I'll actually be cheering for Mizzou in the tournament. That's the goal.
Yeah, try not to big time us when you're here for March Madness again, okay? We remember.
I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare.
Jim Root, everybody. Thank you, Jim. Part of the three-man weave crew again with Matty Cox and Kai. McKeon. We all love all three of those guys. By the way, in case you were wondering and you're ready to try something different, sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet, U.S.-based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Coming back, Kelly goes country clubbing with some golf. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Hey, Kelly, we get texts, you know? I got one from a Wyatt Tomchak. He says, this guy is an idiot for that football take. I think he's referring to you.
Oh,
from,
really?
From a Wyatt Tomchak.
Because we both get texts. I got one, too.
Oh, what did yours say?
From Matt Grissom, who said I'm absolutely right.
About?
My indoor sports take.
You're both ridiculous. And I love Matt, but you're both ridiculous. Time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, my two divisional round plays in the National Football League. I am on the Rams, plus six against the Eagles, and I'm on the Ravens. Didn't get the best of it, but given a point against the Bills. I'm in the tank for the Ravens. I have been all year. Rams and Ravens are my two plays. I am staying away from the sides, both the Texans and the Chiefs, and also the Commanders and the Detroit Lions. Want no part of those two games. By the way, Megapod after the show today. Drew Dinsick is our guest for divisional round for me, Todd, and Will. Kelly Bidlin, you got some bets. What do you got?
I do. Couple in the NBA tonight. Not huge, both a little smaller. Timberwolves laid the 5.5 with the struggling Warriors coming to town. And then Grizzlies, money line on the road against the San Antonio Spurs, who have been looking pretty good here. But, man, this Grizzlies team fully healthy. Could be scary out west. And then NFL, I did make that bet yesterday. AFC -115 to win the Super Bowl. So I am rooting for a conference this whole way, Gil.
You should get an AFC hat.
I need an AFC t-shirt. Yeah, you're right. One of those corny ones. The only bet I've got so far for this weekend, Chiefs-Lions in a teaser. I'll probably end up on the Bills. I'm waiting to see where that number keeps moving, though, because I will tease them with the Chiefs as well if it gets into teaser range.
There goes Kelly Bidlin, fan of the American Football Conference.
I love that you brought that up. It's like the SEC thing. Nothing drives me more nuts in sports.
JVT, Johnny Vaughn, came on the show. He loves the Texans plus the points against the Chiefs. He did make a bet in the Super Bowl MVP market on Lamar Jackson to win Super Bowl Most Valuable Player, plus 550. And then when I asked him for an NBA bet, he said Utah State, -5 against his running Rebels. He did say he didn't have any NBA. We're just messing around. So he's on Utah State. Hey, listen, if he's fading the Rebels, that is something to pay attention to.
Yeah, it really is.
And then Dallin Cuff came on. He had a couple college basketball. Biggest game tonight in college hoops. He's got Iowa State laying the wood, laying the points against Kansas. That in Ames, Iowa. And then he's got Dayton first half against George Mason. Dayton -4, first half versus George Mason. And finally, we also have plays. Well, not finally, but we also have plays from Jason Weingarten. He's on the Rams plus the points against the Eagles. National championship Monday night. By the way, are you aware the college football national championship is on Monday night? Ohio State laying 8.5 against Notre Dame. That's what Jason Weingarten is on. And then Jim Root, James Patrick Root. Pitt, -2 versus Kelly's Florida State Seminoles. SMU, Virginia, -135. And Colgate, -3 versus Navy. Best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. VSIN recommends every bettor make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees. Earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VSIN, subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. I still can't get over the fact that you think football should be indoors at all times.
You're just egging on the audience at this point. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's my goal.
That's fine. No, I'm
to turn the audience against
this.
You.
This weekend we have the perfect example too, because I just had to look up the weather. Would you be more interested in seeing the Rams Eagles in 29 degree weather in Philadelphia or in that gorgeous indoor stadium in Los Angeles?
The Rams and Eagles in a heartbeat.
No, I know. Which stadium would you rather see that game in, is what I'm asking.
Oh, I don't. I went to games in cold weather on my entire childhood in D.C.
Yeah. We all did things when we were kids.
We love.
You're dodging the question.
I'm not dodging the question. I'd love to go.
That's cool. We all saw games in the snow when we were kids. You'd rather see it
Are you suggesting that my father the entire time was like, you don't mean to tell me this would be better at home eating sandwiches?
A bit of him, yes.
You meaning to suggest that with age we become more jaded by stuff? We should all have some kids in ours and still want to go to these games.
Why do you think those Bills fans are jumping through tables,
man? Wait a minute, hold on.
They got to drink just to stay warm.
You're moving the goalposts. You are now making it about fans in attendance.
That was what I was trying to say from the beginning.
Oh, well, then you completely misrepresented yourself. Because everybody took it as you, the game itself.
Fun, then, I guess. Oh, I love watching Bills games in snow on my couch at home in temperature-controlled environment.
You've completely changed what you say. And now you know what you did? You've left Matt Grissom on an island now. That's what you did. That's what you did.
I am just talking about attending a game. That is all I'm talking about.
Oh, he's completely changed the
whole
thing.
That's why I started with the Marlins story. Because that was the first time I ever saw a baseball or football game indoors. I was like, this is nice. And then the next time I went, I brought my iPad and streamed NBA games.
Let me ask you a more important question. Are we allowed to go country clubbing twice in one show?
Oh, we are, because we're about to.
Country clubbing. Oh, yeah.
Hey, look at that guy in the back. I like that guy in the back. All right, American Express this week.
Hey, man, let the music fade first, man.
It goes on for like 3 minutes.
All right, let's just ride it for 3 minutes.
Play underneath what we talked about.
By the way, you're so into these alternative golf games. Maybe you should have this music behind a golf tournament and your golf bets.
You know what's fascinating about the American Express this week, Gil? They call it dome golf because of the lack of conditions. That's what they actually call it. It's a smooth transition. You don't seem impressed. Need to work on my transitions.
What are your bets? So over.
Just get to the bets.
What are your
bets?
Just
get to the bets.
Oh, all right. Nick Dunlap won this last year at 300-1?
Yes.
Wow.
So what? We can take that graphic right away. This is the biggest thing you got to know about the American Express. This is played on three different courses. It is a pro-am. Rounds are going to take a long time. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there is a cut after the third round on Saturday, and then only the pros will play on Sunday. As you see, Gil, a lot of long shots have won here before.
Four north of 100-1 long shots won this in the last 6 years, including Adam Long winning this at 600-1 in 2019.
Yeah, this was...
Who could forget?
Dunlap won this last year and then did the, I'm going to turn Instapro because he was still in college.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'd rather make that money instead of have to give this check to, I think it was Bezadenhout who finished second last year.
Bezadenhout.
Bezadenhout, who picked up the first place prize money.
This is also one of those tournaments where they flirt with 30 under.
Yes, it is.
Okay, let me ask you, let's apply the football question. Do you prefer golf when they flirt with 30 under, or would you rather see a U.S. Open?
U.S. Open.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, but you know what I always say, though, in defense of it? It's just there's too many of those tournaments.
The 30 is...
Yeah, I would be fine if they were more mixed in.
I agree. There used to be a sort of anomaly. Now it feels like there's multiples of these.
I mean, I'm starting off the year already. It's basically three tournaments in a row. Three tournaments in a row where you talk about how easy it is, how scoring it is, how easy the course is, that it's just going to come down to a putting contest. That's what's going to happen again this week. It's what happens pretty much every year in this tournament. A couple just PSAs for this. Because of the three different courses they play on, there is shot link data that gets pulled from the stadium course. So if you are looking at stats from seasons past, it only comes from the one golf course. So just be a little careful with that. Also, first round leaders, if you're betting them this week, how most books handle this is they post three different markets for each course that they will be playing on. I see that's what DraftKings is doing. I believe that's how most books will handle it. So just be careful. Don't get too excited about seeing a first round leader price and think that's for the entirety of the entire tournament. It's just for that course that those guys are playing at. So yeah, I'll just get straight to the bets. I played all long shots this week, all outrights. I'm not playing finishing position markets. I haven't shopped around matchups yet. Might play a couple matchups, but when the variance comes into play, Gil, at the end, on a Sunday with these birdie fests early in the season, when I'm drawing off of small data sets with all of these players, I don't get too involved in the top 10s, top 20s. Those will be for later in the season. That's what we'll be sinking our teeth into heavily then. So JJ Spahn, started with him at 60-1, finished T3 at the Sony last week. He's looking pretty good across the board right now. T25 at this tournament a couple years ago. I don't think tournament history matters as much, though. Great approach numbers. Decent putter so far this year, and solid accuracy off the tee was everything I was looking for this week. So he checked all the boxes. I'm going back to JJ Spahn, 60-1. Erik Kohl sprays it off the tee. This is a pro-am, though, so the rough is not going to be too penal. As long as he can kind of just keep it in the fairway for the majority of the tournament, I like his chances this week. Again, great with the irons, great with the putter. That's what's going to matter the most here. T21, T36, and the two times he has played this, finished fifth at the Sony. So Erik Kohl, 70-1. Mac Meisner, this was the old Long Shots pod play. Check out Long Shots now, up where you can, wherever you download podcasts, and up at YouTube, hopefully soon. Mac Meisner, T21 last week. Great approach player, great putter. Again, checks the boxes, 80-1 with him. Lucas Glover, number one approach guy in the field for me this week. Just going to lean on that. Hope I catch a hot putter with him, 100-1. And Matty Schmidt, T9 in strokes gained putting over his last 36 round, 10th in birdies or better game, and 3rd in par 5 scoring. I will take those with 190-1.
Look at you. Hudson Swafford won this 3 years ago at 150-1.
Hudson Swafford's won this twice. I'm just trying to be like Wes. He hit 115-1 last week.
I'll tell you what's 150-1, that someone named Hudson Swafford has ever met one of my people. Ladies and gentlemen, Stormy Bonatoni, Jensen Lewis next on Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.